Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's roll late night style, as we've got a ton of stuff to get to. We've got more news than CNN. As Jorge Masvidal is in after Gilbert Burns test positive for coronavirus a couple of nights ago. The UFC once again gets it done under adversity. UFC Fight Island is a go, and Masvidal versus Usman will be the main event. We've got a number posted. We've also got a poll question posted. You can answer, who do you think is going to win this fight, at Sports Rage on Twitter, as Usman's a minus 280 favorite, higher than I thought he was going to be. Masvidal pays back plus 215. We'll break it down. UFC 251 this week in the Middle East. We got three championship fights on the card. And we'll get into whether it was actually the right move to even put this fight on this card. The card was strong enough without this. Except I get the feeling the UFC doesn't really like Usman, and they don't care if he loses. And you know what? They're just looking for the biggest bang for their buck. It is a pay-per-view, after all. Speaking of big bangs, Bryson DeChambeau continues to bang it. And he bangs home another top 10 finish. It's 8 of the last 9, guys. Basically free money on a weekly basis. But, oh, yeah, he happened to win the tournament as well. Speaking of tournaments, the basketball tournament is taking place where the Ohio State play in Columbus. They're in the bubble. And it's crazy stuff, man. It's crazy drama. It's great basketball. And the countdown to the return of sports is over, because there's crazy-ass sports going on. Crazy stuff in the Serie A today as the overs continue to cash. We got an EPL game on the board tomorrow. MLS is back. The tournament starts with or without Dallas. This tournament is starting on Wednesday. Miami and Orlando. Big man on campus going to step up and in. We're going to break it all down. Ton of stuff to hit. We'll track the poll question. We'll talk about this UFC 251. National Football League general managers and coaches starting to panic right now behind the scenes. They don't want to play. And you think baseball players could play? Just wait until football players start to tap out. Ton of stuff. Let's go. Bring it. Sports Rage late night. Thank your page.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Sports Rage late night. I am Morenci. A lot of stuff to get to here this evening. It's been a very, very busy weekend in the world of sports. A lot of sports going on. A lot of news pertaining to the sports that might be going on. So the New York Yankees opened up their training camp at Yankee Stadium on the 4th of July. And it started with some fireworks, literally and figuratively. Is for one reason or another, they had Tanaka on the hill. They had Tanaka on the hill in live action, like throwing like fastballs, like live action, with Stanton in the box, with Stanton in the box with no netting. It wasn't a simulated game. And yeah, line drive to the head. DJ LeMahieu has coronavirus right now. He's in isolation. The Milwaukee Bucks have shut down their practice facility for the next couple of days due to multiple positive COVID tests. And, you know, the NBA, without a doubt, is definitely keeping their eye on what's going on right now in Columbus, Ohio, with this basketball tournament. And, man, if you're not watching this, you know, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. And, like, I you know, there's like fans of a league and there's fans of like sort of, you know, the mainstream, but they're not really fans of the sport, right? Like, you know, like how many people walked around, how many people out of the 4 million people that were at that like Raptors parade last year, how many of those 4 million people actually watched Raptor games last year? And, you know, well, they're big basketball fans, right? All right, how many of them were actually watching, like, you know, this tournament? And I just want to punch people in the face. Well, it's not NBA, so. Yeah, I know, because you're such a basketball elitist, and you know so much about the game that your palate can only handle the NBA. I say the same thing about preseason. When people say, oh, I don't watch preseason football. Well, it's like I'm thinking, well, I don't know, man. You say you're a fan of a team. It's like, you know, I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. They only play 20 times a year, man. Right, they play 16 regular season games and 4 preseason games. So if I like them that much, it's they're only playing 20 times. I'm going to watch them all 20 times out of 365 days. So I don't want to hear people, oh, when sports coming back and all this type of crap, because sports is back. Sports is back. We have the UFC 251 next Saturday. Sports is back. We've been watching some kick-ass basketball. These guys laying it all out there, balling in the middle of a pandemic, $1 million on the line. Kind of sad though, isn't it, that these dudes are playing in this basketball tournament for more money than Usman and Masvidal will be fighting for, most likely. But nevertheless, it's amazing, isn't it, how the UFC and Dana White always fall upwards. Like, you know what I mean? Like years ago, people. We're sort of waiting for Dana White's downfall and stuff. It's not coming. It's not coming. It's never going to come. It's just, it's not coming. You know, he's one dude. I don't know, like, you know, if he did like a Keith Richards deal, like if he pulled a deal with the Diablo. like, but whatever he does, like, yeah, people around him might lose money and there's this and that, but he's making a ton of money. And anytime, like, you got to give the guy credit, like, for dealing with crap all the time. And I've heard Dana say before, and you know it's true, and you know he's not even exaggerating what he said. He said, my phone rings like 200 times a day. He was talking about his cell phone. He goes, my cell phone, I get about 200 calls a day. And he goes, generally, about 190 of them are, like, bad news. Like, you know, behind the scenes, you know, this is canceled. This fighter's out. This guy got arrested. This guy failed a drug test. This guy wants $6 million. You know, you got rejected by this state. Like, you go on. And he was talking about how, like, he's just kind of used to it. And, like, even the other day during one of the press conferences, he goes, man, he goes, the other day, he goes, I sat down for a couple hours and I wondered, why do I even do this anymore? I don't need this. And he goes, all the frustration I'm going through with this Fight Island stuff and all this pandemic and everything. Right. But he gets a kick out of winning. He gets a kick out of getting it done. And let's be real.
It sucks for Gilbert Burns because Gilbert Burns earned his title shot. He worked his way up the ladder, kind of, but not really. You know what I'm saying? And you give him credit. You give Burns credit. But this is a much more entertaining fight. And I give credit to both fighters here. Massive credit to both fighters. I give credit to Usman, who can easily say, listen, I'm not fighting Masvidal on 1 week's notice when I've been training for a dude that's the complete opposite type of style of fighter. And Masvidal and Gilbert Burns are not the same fighter at all, right? So you got to give credit to Usman, who's a champion, who has a lot to lose here, and he's willing to man up and fight one of the toughest guys in the world on a week's notice. A lot of dudes wouldn't do it. Hell, John Jones wouldn't fight Chael Sonnen on a week's notice. You know what I mean? Think about that. John Jones wouldn't fight Chael Sonnen on a week's notice. No, it's not enough time. No, I'm not gonna take a chance just for you. Right? So Usman, give him credit. And Masvidal, on the other hand, I give him credit as well for taking the fight on a week's notice. But Masvidal, he's got like less to lose in this than Usman does. I don't think Masvidal cares about belts. He's got that BMF belt thing, you know what I mean? The badass, you know what I'm talking about? MF-er. He's got that belt. But I don't think he cares. Like, I don't think it's his dream. Like, oh, I'm a champion and stuff like that. I think for Masvidal, it's more money, right? So he's kind of in a win-win situation here. You know he's getting decent money for this fight. He's already under contract anyways, but you know he's getting decent money for this fight. If he wins, he's suddenly the champion, and he's going to have to get paid, and he's got a little bit of control. And if he loses, whatever. You know what I mean? The guy, like, grew up fighting in Akimbo Slice videotapes at backyards and like, on YouTube in Miami. It's like I said, for him, it's not about, like, being on a Wheaties box. For him, it's about getting paid. So, and another thing is, he's got this, like, it's built in right now. If he loses, it's like, wow, he had a week's notice only. He's got nothing to lose here. Usman's got everything to lose. Usman's the one with the pressure. Usman's the one that can lose the belt. Like, I could go on. I could go on. Now, as far as the odds are concerned, surprised me a little bit that Usman was this big of a favorite. It doesn't. It goes to show, though. So, listen, we did a poll question, and you can answer the question right now at Sports Rage. And as it is right now, we've got 228 responses, a lot of votes coming in. We just put this up short, you know, not long ago. And Masvidal's got 51.8%, so it's pretty close right now. Usman, 48.2%. Now, I wonder if I didn't put the odds up. I shouldn't have put the odds up in the poll because I put the odds next to the fighters' names, and it kind of skews it a little bit. Because if I ask you just point blank who you think is going to win a fight, it might be a more question, fair question. Then if I'm asking you when you see, oh, it's minus 280 and it's plus 215. Because even me, I'm thinking, man, I don't love Masvidal, but I'm not laying 280, and I'd rather take the plus 215. I see this fight. I don't see him as a minus 280 favorite. The thing is here, and the reason why he is, listen, Masvidal is a tough-ass dude, but he's not a great wrestler, right? His takedown defense is pretty good, but Usman is, like, damn good at getting you down if he wants to. And now that, he's taking his fight on short notice, I don't think Usman's going to want to get into a stand-up war with Masvidal. Masvidal can knock anybody out, and he can mess you up standing up. So, but, you know, Usman can handle himself standing up, too. Like, Usman's the better all-around fighter, let's be real, but Masvidal just has that, like, I don't care attitude, and fighters that just don't give an F, they're pretty tough to deal with. It's like a basketball team that just bombs threes all night. Like, if it goes in, what are you going to do? Like, speaking of basketball, we're going to talk some hoops. Big Man on Campus hops up for that. Sports Rage late night. Bring it. And your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Rage, late night, backdoor rage. Masvidal in. Gilbert Burns out, COVID, got Gilbert Burns. Masvidal takes advantage. And, if you guys know, if you follow the sport closely, there's a video out there from like last year, 2 years ago, in which Masvidal clowned Usman at like a convention. But Usman had a cast on. You know, I'm sure like I said, if you're a hardcore fight fan, you know what I'm talking about. But Masvidal went up to him and he said, "Yo, bro, like I saw you talking smack about me." And Masvidal basically called him a bitch and said, "If you weren't wearing a cast, I'd light you up right now." And Usman said, "Do something." Remember, it was the video, "Do something. Why don't you do something?" And he said, "I told you, because you have a cast." He goes, "I don't want to knock you out. And then you're going to say, people are going to say, I attacked a guy with a cast." So he said, "Don't worry. One day I'll get you." And you know, Masvidal, he doesn't play around with that. When he says, "One day I'll get you," he means it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you look at the list. Like, if you're on his list and you talk, right? Like, you know, when you're on, I wouldn't want to be on this guy's list, man. Crazy Cuban from Miami, man. Guy grew up fighting in, like, backyard brawls with Kimbo Slice and stuff like that. Guy was fighting heavyweights as, like, an 18-year-old. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You put every UFC fighter in a parking lot, and they'll throw weight classes, and I think Masvidal's, like, there's a reason why he's the BMF. He's got that belt right now. All right, let's bring in another BMF right now. Big Man on Campus steps up and in. It's me and Big Man have been banging on this basketball tournament. It's been very enjoyable, high drama, and at times highly frustrating. Big Man on Campus. What's up, Big Man?
How are you, Gabe? Good to talk to you.
Doing all right, Big Man. You know, we ended strong tonight with Armored Athletes. Went three and one with the sides today. Would have been a nice clean sweep. I don't have to tell you, but Heartfire freaking fell apart, bro, in the Elam quarter angle of the Elam part of the game. Real, man, we were cruising too, bro. So frustrating. Would have been a nice clean sweep. We had a nice night, though, and I kept crushing these. I hit the in-game overs in a late game tonight. So enjoyable weekend of basketball. And like I told people, if you're not watching this, then – you know, don't tell me you're a college basketball fan. Don't tell me you're a basketball fan. Like, this is why I love, like, the Arena Football League, Big Man. Because I know the guys. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy, the running back from Northern Iowa. Yeah, I know this guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, yeah, that quarterback's good, man. Like, I remember him. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy, no one knows him, but I remember him. And, like, I love betting, like, the CFL, the Arena League. I love stuff like this, Big Man, where this is where our knowledge, bro, of watching all these college games and, like, international games and people watching the Euro games in the middle of the night and stuff, bro, and all the college games you watch. This is why we're killing it so far. Great start this weekend. Can't wait to get back at it tomorrow.
Yeah, this is why, you know, for years I've always liked the Summer League. The Summer League's similar. I mean, you really can kind of use your knowledge to really get ahead. And, yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, just kind of gloss over this tournament. And I think it'll do a lot better ratings-wise this year than it's done. But, yeah, I mean, today was rough. I mean, Heartfire, I mean, that was just – I'll tell you what, Gabe, I had a really – unlucky day betting. I mean, I had some really rough beats as far as some of the things I was betting on. But, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I mean, I'm starting to kind of figure out that I think this is going to be a pretty open year in TBT. I know that, you know, teams like Carmen's Crew and some of them, Challenge LS, are really good. But, you know, there's some really good teams, some we haven't even seen yet. I mean, that Mackey or the team Sideline Cancer, they're a team that has looked good in years past. You look at a team tomorrow, Floyd Mayweather's team, the Money team, they're an interesting team. Brotherly Love. So, yeah, I think it's a packed league. It's a fun league. I'll tell you, though, Heartfire, Gabe, I know you watched the game. It really seemed like the game turned when Mark Lyons fouled out, and then basically the coach for the other team basically said, we're not going to let Isaiah Austin beat us anymore. And then you found Isaiah Austin starting to shoot threes, and they just kind of get out of their offense pretty quickly. So, yeah, it was a nice job by the other team to find a way to kind of slow him down.
And,
yeah, Mackey.
Yeah, Haas.
Yeah, Mackey.
Haas stepped up, bro. Haas stepped up defensively.
Yeah, Haas did a nice job.
Yeah. And then, like you said, Austin started settling for threes. We got lazy, bro. They started settling for threes, and – you know, it's so frustrating. When you see these teams, big man, why do they all got to be heroes? As soon as they get into the Elam part of the game, they all just start bombing threes. It's like, dude.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
we need 6 points. They need 14. Figure it out, guys.
Well, when you
stop taking threes,
when you have when you have the Elam ending, and let's say you're 3 points away, like these teams just start bombing threes, and they just want to end it quickly. And even in the last game tonight, Gabe, I don't know if you noticed, but like, Armored Athletes kept just letting the Clemson team score. And it was just like, well, let them score, and then, you know, we'll just go down and get a bucket. And it's like, well, yeah, but you actually have to get a bucket. And it got a little hairy for a second. But, yeah, some of these guys, it's like you said the other night, it's evident why some of them are not in the league, because they just – yeah, there's some real talent here. You look at a guy like, you know, Marcus Keene today for Sideline Cancer. He was terrific. I mean, what a player. But, yeah, it's you kind of see some of the things that kind of separate these guys and make them kind of good European players, but not NBA. Yeah, Mike Dom was terrific.
Mike Dom, he's not good enough to be, like, a 15th guy in the NBA, big man? I was wondering about that. Or is it a case where he just makes better money playing overseas, right? He actually plays, probably makes, $2 million. You know what I mean?
I think Mike Dom, I mean, he's a guy that I'll tell you what, Mike Dom looks terrific as well. He looked like he lost some weight. He looks a lot more mobile. I think with him, you know, he was a lot like Kyle Wilcher to me. Kyle Wilcher was another one where I felt like offensively he was good enough to play in the league. The problem is neither of these guys can defend. So at the NBA level, you have to defend. But I'm also kind of learning in the NBA that I don't think you necessarily need to defend. Yeah, I think with these guys, you know, it is about, you know, going over. And, I mean, I wouldn't mind – Mike Dom plays in Spain, Gabe. I wouldn't mind playing in Spain and playing in a beautiful area, making a ton of money. And, you can live a really nice life. You don't got to deal with kind of going up and down. I mean, who wants to play in Peoria when you can go to Spain and play with, you know, some great leagues, make good money, and live there? I mean, it sounds pretty good to me.
If Dom's in the NBA, he's kicking around the end of the bench. He's getting sent to the G League and stuff. Sorry, Mike, we're sending you down. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, you're right. It's a cold world. The NBA is a different world. And I'm not saying these guys are trying to get into the NBA. Like, they got good lives, right? Like, they, like some of these guys, they're making some money. But Dawkins brought that up today. Buddy missed a shot, a wide open shot. It was a brick. And he goes, and he just sort of slipped. And he goes, wow, that's why he's not in the NBA. It was Dawson from Michigan State. He goes, he tries hard. He's got a lot of talent. But he goes, the guy just can't shoot. I was like, yeah, come on, Dawkins. You know, lay off, like, why he's not in the NBA now. Just let the guy, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Dawkins is all over the place, man. I heard him earlier. He was talking about, he's like, yeah, you know, coaches, they don't curse enough anymore. He goes, yeah, we need that back in the league. It's like, well, I don't know if we do, actually.
You're on ESPN. I heard him say that, too. He goes, yeah, I got to write a note to myself that do not curse on the broadcast every night. He goes, that's just the way I talk. Yeah, like, I like him.
Yeah,
but
he's
he says a lot of crazy things. Like, I'm sure he's. I think it's almost like he's getting like Bill Walton-ish. He was talking about going to see a boxing match with Mike Tyson and stuff. Like, he's sort of all over the place.
Yeah, last night, I mean, he literally talked about his kid for like an hour straight. It was just like. I mean, just he loves hearing himself talk. I mean, it's just – and then he's talking about last night about his diet and how he can't really lose weight because he works out, but then he goes and just eats Doritos all night. It's like, and it's just like, it's just stuff we don't really care about, but whatever, whatever floats his boat. I think the thing is, Gabe, also people don't realize those announcers aren't actually there at the games. So like they're, he's probably just like sitting in his, he's probably just like sitting in a room somewhere and he gets bored, you know?
No, you're exactly like, no, he's fired up. Listen, the guy knows basketball inside out. Like you name a player, he's got a story about him, right? Especially the Big Ten, especially the Big Ten guys. But you're right, they're in Indianapolis. So you catch a big break, bro, because you jumped on your backyard boys here, brotherly love. You got them at 30-1. They won their first game. They move on, but they were going to take on a pretty good team. They were going to be taking on the 5 seed in Eberline Drive. Eberline Drive were one of the better teams, but Eberline Drive had a positive corona test. And in this format, guys, the entire team is asked to leave immediately. It's like Big Brother, this stuff, eh, big man? It's pretty crazy. like, honestly, the bags are waiting for you guys. Like, when you lose, like, one of the guys took a picture, big man. He put it on Twitter yesterday on one of the losing teams. He said, damn. Like, they had the bags packed for them. It's like, bye-bye, you're done. Mm-hmm. Like, you must leave the bubble immediately. Like, you go to your room, you know, you shower up and stuff, and basically they got your bags on the bus, bro. Like, you're gone. You're out. And they're like, damn, man. And, guys, they're playing for $1 million. So it gets hardcore. There was some tense stuff. So Eberline Drive have to be that. You know, they got kicked out from the tournament because one of them tested positive. And Brotherly Love, Eberline Drive are going to be the favorites, but Brotherly Love, we're going to play them. Brotherly Love now get the win. They advance to the quarterfinals, and now Brotherly Love now plus 850, big man. You got 30-1. It's now plus 850.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what's great about this tournament. It goes so quick where you move pretty quick, and before you know it, you don't have any value left. It's kind of a shame that the Eberline Drive had this happen because, you know, you look at this team, I mean, they're kind of a mishmash of players. I mean, you got, you know, Tim Quarterman, a couple of LSU players. Then you have, you know, a guy like, you know, JP McCura, who was a really good player at Xavier for a lot of years. And you just got some kind of mishmash. It's just a bunch of players kind of in one team. It's kind of a shame they got knocked out because I think they were a pretty interesting group. But, yeah, I got lucky with that. We'll keep hoping for more value.
It's on the other side. Guys, this money team, Floyd Mayweather's got a Nate Baum threes, love man, them. Like Loyola Marymount style. We'll hit this and more. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Shout out to our boy Yang, back from Midtown Des Moines, back in Midtown Manhattan, actually in Spanish Harlem this evening, throwing it down. Sports Rage at late night. I am Renzi, 844-843-6879. We'll see if we'll get to a couple of calls a little bit later on. We're kicking it right now with Big Man on Campus, talking some basketball, getting some soccer picks as well. Frustrating. Actually, it was pretty good. It's amazing, man. The overs just keep cashing in Italy, except, and, you know, I think the overs, I played 6 overs today. I think we went 5-1, maybe 4-2. I think 5-1. But, of course, the one was the one that I had in, like, 3 parlays, of course. So, you know, that's this, you know, Lord Gambler. That's the way that always works. But as far as this basketball tournament is concerned, so, big man, I think the scoring is going to start to increase a little bit now. We're going to get better shooters in here. We had some grinding teams so far over the weekend, but now the elite dudes start to step up and in, and not just the overseas elite, but, you know, there's better shooters, higher scoring teams. This, you know, Floyd Mayweather's team, they just bomb threes, like, consistently. Like, they want to just push the tempo and bomb threes. So the matchup set up now, last year's champion, Carmen's crew, the Ohio State crew. Man, we got a Big Ten matchup here, big man. House of Pain gets Carmen's crew. Man, they could be in trouble there. We've got Red Scare and Big X. We got the Marquette team that we haven't seen play yet, but they made it to the finals last year against Team CP3, and we watched that last night, big man. We know they came back, but they're not very good. And Eberlein Drive and Brotherly Love, but Brotherly Love moves on. Overseas Elite and Armored Athletes. I'm betting the over this game, bro. That's going to be a track meet. They might hit 200, big man.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to what you're saying on the money team, I got to tell you, man, this is a team that I'm probably going to bet tonight to win this tournament. I'm going to bet one other team. I think this team can be really good. I mean, their guard play is going to be really solid. I mean, Bryce Alford was a terrific player. Nick Johnson at Arizona. I mean, but you look at the kind of the wings in on this team. I mean, Kyle Wilcher, I mean, he was so good offensively. This guy could just get buckets. Peyton Aldridge down at Davidson, same thing with him. Thomas Welsh, I mean, he's a guy that's had NBA success. I mean, he played for the Denver Nuggets. They get some really good talent in this team. Keep in mind Tony Roten as well, Gabe. Tony Roten's a longtime veteran in the NBA. So, I mean, this team is pretty stacked. I'm gonna be keying in on them. I think if they get one win, they're gonna be a top five team, top four team. I think there's some real value on the money team, 13-1. They have a shot to win this thing. They're really good.
You know what I like too? You see, their coach, David Nurse, is actually is Nick Nurse's it's his uncle, Toronto Raptors coach.
Yep.
So how can I not pull for these guys now? Like I saw his interview today. He goes, yep. Well, my uncle won an NBA championship, and he goes, now we're going to try to win another one. Right now, yeah, they're going to be a fun team to watch. I'm looking forward to seeing this Overseas Elite team. Overseas Elite guys have only lost one game in the history of their tournament. They're like 28-1. They never lost a game before, but they lost last year in the final to Carmen's crew. So, you know, they want revenge. They brought in Joe Johnson, too. You know, seven-time NBA All-Star Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
So, Overseas Elite are plus 190 to win it all right now. Carmen's crew plus 390.
They don't, I tell you, I'm off, but I mean, Overseas Elite doesn't do a lot for me. I don't know. Like, obviously, Joe Johnson moves needles, and he's just, I think, better than a lot of these guys. But I mean, they have a lot of guys where there's just, you know, not a lot of namesakes on this team. Not a lot of guys you'd recognize. Xavier Silas played in the league for a couple of years, but you know, they don't have a lot of league talent. Just a lot of really solid college players. But yeah, I think you're right about that game that you mentioned. I think it could be high scoring as far as that's concerned, but. Yeah, you know, none of the numbers are out yet for tomorrow's games and for obviously the rest of the week. That Marquette team, they're kind of interesting as well. They've always been pretty solid. I mean, Andrew Rousey was a wildly good scorer. He could put up 50 a game when he was at Marquette. You know, Travis Diener is their coach there. It's a great league. I really like this league. I'm having fun with it.
No, it really is a lot of fun. Another team that could be a dark horse here is the Team Challenge ALS, the ALS team.
Yeah.
They can be a very dangerous team as well. They got some size. They've got some speed. And, you know, coming in here is the sixth seed. It's interesting, though. You know, I think you're right about the value with the money team at 13-1. It's hard to bet plus 190 on Overseas Elite, especially you guys, one game and you're out. It's like the NCAA tournament style. It's not a series. You lose the game, you're eliminated. So there's not a lot of wiggle room here. Well, you're getting plus 190. Carmen's crew are good, but I don't think they're going to repeat. The Golden Eagles, the Marquette team, made it to the final last year. They're 6-1. Boeheim's Army are overrated at 7-1. Brotherly Love are good, but I don't know if they have enough offensive, enough to get it all the way to the end. Then you get this money, you know, the Mayweather team, the money team at 13-1. I think you're onto something here, big man.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the futures I have. I mean, I actually just played that. I have that team. I have Brotherly Love, as we said. And then I have House of Pain. I mean, I got them at 60-1. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. That team you mentioned, ALS, Challenge ALS, they're actually the the team that kind of started all this, but they got a kid, Gabe, Tyrese Reese. He plays in Greece right now. He played at Boston College. He might be the best point guard in this whole tournament. They have a couple of San Diego State guys, kind of a team full of Texas or California and Texas players. But yeah, I mean, I like where I'm at. I like where I'm sitting with these futures. I got obviously some luck with the Brotherly Love team and kind of beat in my backyard. But yeah, I think the money team, they're going to be my team that I think finds a way to win this thing. They have value because if they beat Herd that, they'll go down to 6-7-1.
It's too bad though, because I think there were supposed to be two games tomorrow. And now only one because it's canceled. Like the Brotherly Love game was going to be tomorrow. So yeah. I think there's only one game, which is kind of disappointing. But it leads us into the MLS after the fact, because MLS starts on Wednesday. But let's get into the Serie A a little bit today. So for the love of God, man, like I knew we were in trouble. It was kind of a slow start. They had a million freaking chances. And I'm talking about Atalanta. And they had a million chances, and then Cagliari have a player, a red card, so they're down a man. And, you know, sometimes when a team is down a man, it slows things down, but it wasn't really the case, big man. Like, you were watching it closer than I was, because I got really upset about it. The basketball was on. I got pissed off. I kind of knew we were screwed. And it was just chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. Why did the ball not go in the net today?
Yeah, you know, they had 24 shots. I mean, 9 on goal. I mean, I'll be honest, Gabe. I've watched a lot of soccer in my life. This was arguably the most frustrating game I've ever bet on. When you're a team like Atalanta, the team you play goes down a man. I mean, you have to figure, Gabe, they didn't score a goal without the penalty. The penalty they scored was right after the 10 men. So they didn't score with against 10 men. This is a team that scored 83 goals this year. They've scored, you know, like 17 more goals than anyone else. I mean, it's fascinating. But yeah, I mean, they had a couple off the post. I mean, everything was elevated. Cagliari didn't really do anything, I think, that was that interesting. Atlanta just couldn't find any goals. It was fascinating. And then it wasn't just this game either, though. I had Sampdoria against Spal. Spal gets, basically the entire second half down 3-0 to just attack, 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 and they couldn't find a goal either. I had Parma. They had a shot. I mean, two of the goals that Fiorentina had were penalties. It was just a rough day. But yeah, Atalanta was rough. But I'm still going to keep betting their overs. I think their overs continue to have value. We just had some bad luck today.
Yeah, you know, well, listen, I've been jumping on the last couple of weeks. You pointed it out to me. I noticed it was higher scoring, and as you mentioned, but it really has continued. You just got to sort of bet the same on every game. I stayed away. I played six of them, and it was 4-2. Yeah, so I played six totals, and I played six overs in the Italian league, and we went 4-2. It wasn't bad. I think it might have even been 5-1. I don't know. We had a pretty good day today. We even hit Kevin Harvick, actually. We had Kevin Harvick. It was only plus 400, but we hit Kevin Harvick. I had DeChambeau to be top 10 at minus 135. I also took him today to win at plus 100. So, you know, the wins were coming in, but I had a bad little run last night at about 5 a.m. in New Zealand and China, man. A little frustrating in the Chinese and New Zealand basketball leagues.
Well, I'll say this, Gabe. When it comes to Serie A, just going forward, just something to keep in mind. Keep in mind, they've only played 30 games this year so far. They have 8 or so to go. It's fascinating to see how many penalties are called in this league. I mean, you look at out of the 20 teams they have, 18 have conceded 13 or more penalties this year. Wow. I mean, this league just every game has.
And there's props. At least
two penalties.
Props for
it's amazing
out there too. You can bet those props. Will there be a penalty?
Yeah,
I mean,
I think as we talked about the other night, that the goal of this league is to produce goals. I mean, they know that people want to see goals. There's an opportunity for, you know, especially now with ESPN. I mean, all these games are on Watch ESPN and on ESPN. I mean, that's a lot of conceded penalties. I mean, it seems like every game there's one or two penalties in every single one. I mean, you look at the game today with Parma and Fiorentina, all three goals are from penalties. I mean, it's wild how many penalties are called in this league.
I noticed some of these games too, man. There were like 20 corner kicks and stuff. I never seen anything like that.
It's changed so much this league. And look, I mean, I like more goals, but you really have to start paying attention, Gabe, to some of the teams that aren't conceding penalties. You're going to look at Napoli, Udinese. Those are the teams that obviously are the lowest. But, yeah, it's interesting. You look at Lecce, Gabe. They're like the worst team in this league. The last four goals they've scored have come from penalties. They have 21 goals this year off penalty. Keep in mind, in general, they've only scored like 38 goals. So, I mean, it's pretty fascinating how many goals come from penalties.
I'm going to look up the numbers here. We're going to see what we can get. You know, not all books are going to have that, you know, everywhere, depending on where you are, what country you're in, et cetera.
The thing that they're doing now, and they're not stupid books. I mean, they're starting to really juice the hell out of some of these Serie A games as far as over 2.5, things like that. You're really having to pay kind of a premium
like,
to bet them.
This EPL game big man. It's plus 225 only. Yeah. Will there be a penalty? Not like massive number there, you know what I mean?
But like look at on Tuesday, Lazio, they play Lecce. I've actually already bet that game. I mean, you look at will there be a penalty? I don't even think they're offering it actually. There's players to be sent off and that kind of thing, red card in the match, but I don't even think they're offering them.
Yeah, you know, maybe they'll offer it before, but as you stated, sometimes it's only in
actually,
in tournament.
I'm lying.
You see it now?
To score a penalty, Gabe, Lecce's 9-1 to score on a penalty, Lazio 3-1 to score on a penalty. And will there be a penalty in the match? Yes, is 11-5. So you're getting plus money on that.
Not bad. All right, hang in here, big man. Get into a little MLS as well. They're kicking off. You know, MLS is tough, guys. We don't know. You know, they're starting. So it's going to come. We'll bring it up. Sports Rage Late Night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Globetrotters owner says he'd love for the Redskins to buy the Washington Generals name. Yeah, I'm sure you would. And yeah, I get it. I know the Redskins suck and all that other type of stuff, but the Washington Generals are known for like losing every game all the time. I don't think they want to be called the Washington Generals, but Ron Rivera is on board with changing the name, and he goes, he hopes that it happens before the season starts, and I believe it will happen before the season starts. The Cleveland Indians look like they're changing their name too. Except their season starts in like 3 weeks. We'll go over the names that are on the table for the Cleveland Indians. And they actually have a couple of pretty cool ones right now on the board. Big man on campus with us right now. Muhammad asks us, big man in the chat, about tomorrow's match in the EPL. Tottenham Hotspurs and Everton. It's actually a pretty, you know, they're very close in the standings here, these teams. So Tottenham's plus 100. Everton is plus 270. Total 2.5, and it's minus 110, the over-under on both sides. And I'm kind of kicking myself. On a lot of the, you know, on a lot of the mid-tier, sort of lower-tier EPL games, bro, they've all been going under the number. And I'm always like, wow, it's 2.5 only, and it's this and that. And then you see 1-0, 1-1, you know, like the Burnley match, 1-1. What do you make of this one? What do you make of this matchup, big man?
Yeah, you know, Tottenham is struggling right now. I think their fans are starting to get a little annoyed. They've won one time over the last 9 games, just not playing real well. They continue to kind of flounder in their own whatever they're floundering in. Everton, they're kind of flying up the table a little bit. They've won 2 in a row, starting to look a little bit better. I think one of your commenters mentioned both teams to score. I think that's a pretty good play here. I wouldn't mind taking a shot with Everton double chance where you cover yourself on the draw. But I'll tell you this, Gabe, and this is something I want to make clear. I don't have a lot of success betting either team. I've always kind of avoided each of them, so I would kind of avoid.
Big man on campus kicking it with us. All right, we'll do another. We'll take a quick break. We'll get a sports update. Big man will join us. We'll talk a little MLS. We'll get to the pipelines as well. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.